Boy, I think he had to sit in and listen to me once. As they go, would you take up your Bibles and then take out your message notes? And if you don't have, you won't have a set of notes if you're new with us. And I'd like you, if you would, to get the attention of an usher as they come down the aisles. They'll provide you a set of these. And if you left yours at home, please also get their attention so that you can continue our study. The Word of God is so precious to us as a church family. We don't look at it as studying a book. We look at it as the breath of God, because it is. It is His thoughts, His words to us, His desires for what He would like us to do. So I just want to encourage you to pick up those things. We're looking at what Granada Hills Community Church should be like in a world of racism and corruption, because we're living in really goofy times right now. And so we're going to continue our study. If you find that this intrigues you, you can either go to our website and listen to the first three messages there, or you can see our sound team, and they can produce a copy for you. So family, I left you last Sunday on page 2, about the middle of your notes. And I had begun to talk to you about this formidable force that we have resident within our mouths, the tongue, and how it can be such a blessing to people, and at the same time, how it can be a real hurt to people. If you'll recall, our Lord, He asked His disciples, He said, "Who do men say I am?" And they started, "Well, some think you're this and some think you're that." But Peter, he jumps up and says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus told him, "You know, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, Peter. It's my Father who's in heaven who made you aware of this." And then he goes on and he talks to them in the process about how he's going to have to go to Jerusalem and how he's going to have to be crucified. And then Peter jumps up again and says, "No, no, may it never be." You see, we can be used of the Spirit of God for wonderful things. And at the same time, remember what Jesus told Peter when he told him, "No, no, you know, this shouldn't take place? Get behind me, Satan." And so we have this war that's going on in the world that many of us give very little credence to, that is respect for it, that is believing it's going on, even think about it. And that is the war that's going on in the spirit world. Paul was not just talking off the top of his head when he was teaching us some years back as we studied the armor of God and what that all means to us as we remember each piece and how this all can impact our lives and protect us from the evil that is going on in the world, either perpetrated in the spirit world towards us or by people who are just evil. So the tongue is a powerful instrument used for blessing and for cursing. So this morning, as we go forward, there might be one of you, I don't know, and let me put out this disclaimer. We have had some counseling sessions going on, and what I have to say specifically this morning has nothing to do with you whom I've been in counseling with, okay? So I don't want you to think that if the Spirit of God begins to poke you, or maybe as we have seen, the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword and cut and brings some uncomfortability. I don't want you to think that it's coming out of our counseling. It's simply our study of the Word of God today. But let's let the Spirit of God be the Spirit of God in our lives and to make whatever changes He needs to make, or to simply encourage us. Because that's part of what that's really what I want to be. I want to be your encourager. I want to be your cheerleader as we study the Word of God and whatever He wants to reveal to us. but I want to be your cheerleader. I want to be like the coach on the sideline, you know, calling certain plays at certain times to let you be aware of certain things that will work better as you're out there on the field working so hard, playing. But I really want to be your helper today as the Spirit of God uses me and as he is here in our presence and in you who have appropriated him through your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we begin our study, a difficult subject to say the least, please let me be your cheerleader. And some of you really need some encouraging. You've revealed that to me. And out of love, I want you to be encouraged. So whatever is troubling you, whatever is challenging you today, the last month, throughout this last year, I want so much for all of us, and especially for you, to listen ever so carefully. Not so much to Ron, but as we look at the Word of God. Listen to what the Spirit of God has to say. Remember, as we studied the week before last, we saw how that wee small voice, you know, that's what we need to be listening to. Not the troubles that are in the world surrounding us. Not, you know, what Hillary's going to do to this country, not what Donald Trump's going to do to this country, not any of that stuff. We need to get away from the earthquakes in our lives and the fire that's burning us, those people that really burn us up, you know. We need to listen to our Heavenly Father through that wee small voice. So our Heavenly Father is going to provide you. He's going to provide me with everything we need. Everything we need. Would you say that with me? Everything you need. Everything you need. Now say everything I need. Everything I need. And say it loud. Everything I need. Everything I need. Our Heavenly Father is going to provide that for us. If this isn't in your notes, but write it down. Romans chapter 8 and verses 38 and 39. There the apostle Paul, he says, for I am persuaded. I'm persuaded. Now, this guy has really gone through hell and back. Literally, he's gone to heaven and back too. But, you know, it says, for I am persuaded that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're talking about the agape love of God. That love that you and I become so intimately aware of. That love that is seeking the other person's very best, greatest good at our expense. When the current Kentucky governor, Matt Bevin, was sworn into office, he told an assembled crowd the following, and I quote, if we truly love one another, if we have each other's backs, then the greatest days of the Commonwealth of Kentucky are indeed yet to come. Now that sentiment echoes what lovers have been telling each other over the centuries. You know, love is all we need. While love may not be bulletproof for most politicians or for lovers, it definitely is for members of God's family. If we lose all else in this world, we will never lose the love of God. If we lose everything else in this world, property-wise, whatever, we will never lose the love of our Heavenly Father. This love has been poured out into your heart. And it's like your heart, your spiritual heart, has become this receptacle that is infinite because that love never stops pouring into your life. But we can become distracted. It's like these beautiful waterfalls that Kathy and I saw while we were on our vacation on Maui. And then all of a sudden, here comes a group of tourists. And I'm distracted, and I'm pulled away from the waterfall. That beautiful waterfall of God's love is continuous. You are enveloped into that love. He'll never desert you. He'll never forsake you. He is with you now and through all of eternity. And it's the distractions in life that pull us away from that sure knowledge, that truth. And we get all tied up emotionally and so forth in the things of the world. And that leads us off into other directions away from the lover of our soul. Therefore, as I said, we'll never lose his love, that means we'll never lose him. And he is the paramount expression of love. God is love, as we have studied in 1 John in chapter 4 and verse 8 and verse 16. When Paul was suffering, speaking of Paul, he was talking about the grace of God upon his life, God's favor in his suffering. You can read about this in 2 Corinthians and chapter 12, verse 9. He is the same apostle who lost everything in service to our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to think of what have you really lost? What have you lost in service our Lord Jesus Christ? Anything? Paul lost everything. He lost everything in service to our Lord. He was in shipwrecks, imprisonments, beatings, hungry, really hungry. Boy, the church missed out on that one, didn't it? You don't see many church families that are hungry, not in the United States. He was hungry, he was stoned, and I don't mean on weed. And even more things. You can read about this also in 2 Corinthians in chapter 6, verses 4 through 10, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. He lost everything he didn't. He lost everything he didn't need. And kept everything he did need. Most important, he kept the love of God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. The same is true of you. Nothing can separate you from the love of your Heavenly Father and his love through Christ. He is everything we need in this world of racism and corruption. Corrie Ten Boom, I love this lady. I never got to meet her while she was here, but I know I'll track her down in heaven one day. But Corrie Ten Boom, for those of you who may be new in the faith or never heard of Corrie and her whole family, they were hiding Jewish people during World War II so that they wouldn't be taken off to the Nazi death camps and murdered there. And they did that for quite some time before Corrie and her family, her father, her sister, and brother were caught at doing this. And her dad died in a Nazi death camp. Her sister died in the Nazi death camp that Corrie had been sent to. And people will say by a clerical error, she was released. That's just the providence of God, you know, that she was set free. And she would go on to serve the Lord I guess she's still serving him, because until she gave up her body and went to heaven. And that was just a few years back. But Corrie said this: never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future. Like the future of the United States right now. A lot of people are very, very pessimistic. No matter who becomes our next president and the new administration and who's going to be appointed to the Supreme Court and all those things. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to the God that you and I have come to know on a very intimate basis. And then Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in a moment of comfort. Let me say that again. The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. So here we stand, family, in very difficult times, trusting in a known God, our unknown future. God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, we stand with them as men and women who have devoted ourselves. We have taken on the mantle, the title, the role of being doulas, being slaves to the Most High God. That is by choice. We are the slaves of our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we stand with him, and standing in him, we have the power, we have the strength. He will give us the knowledge, the wisdom to be able to work through and to be these people that our country, our culture needs right now, with racism and corruption running so tirelessly and with strength in our country right now. So we need to remember, as we look at page 2 of our notes, the tongue has the means to commend and to corrupt in so much more. I'm reminded of three pastors. They decided that on their day off Monday, they were going to go out fishing. And as they're out there fishing, they decided that they're going to be transparent. So there we are, and you've got David, who I introduced this morning. He's on the boat. And you have Eugene on the boat. And then there's me. And so David just, I didn't hear that, so I'm just going to go on. Help him. So David said, look, I'll be first to go. He said, be honest, I have a little problem with cheating on my taxes. I've cheated the federal government and the state. And so Eugene, being the wonderful guy that he is and very transparent, he says, well, I have a problem with gambling, guys. You know, I sometimes sneak out late at night and I go play 3 or 4 hands of blackjack, and the elders really need to give me another raise. So I'm just sitting there quiet. And so Dave says, well, come on, Ron, it's your turn. And Eugene starts piping in. Come on, Ron, you said we shared, now you share. So I said, well, okay, guys, my problem is gossip, and I can hardly wait to get off this boat. Sorry, guys, you were just here, it's so easy. So my boss is going to hear about this for sure. But anyway, again, the tongue, you see, the tongue. The tongue gets us in trouble. As you see there in your notes, you filled this in last week. The tongue has the means to commend and to corrupt, to bless or to blame. The tongue, it is awful what it can do when it's being used in our flesh, our humanness. It is even more amazing, though, what it can do when operating in the Spirit. When you and I are walking in the Spirit, it is amazing what the tongue can do. But this is where I left off last week in Ephesians 4, verses 31 through 32. And let's read it aloud together. And we'll strengthen our voices, okay? Let's read it together aloud. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Now, that says so much right there on the surface. But let's go back and take a closer look at it. Let's look at it from the lens of racism. Let's look at it from the lens of corruption from the highest levels of government to the corruption that, if you look closely, you may find it in your own heart. Let's look closer here. It says, get rid of all bitterness. This is not a suggestion. Paul is telling the Ephesian church family, and the Holy Spirit is telling the Granada Hills church family this morning, get rid of your bitterness. Bitterness is not better for the church. You know, there's only one letter between that changes bitter to better, and it's the word E. But you see, the word that is there and that makes bitterness so poignant is the letter I. Me, myself, and I. Bitterness remains in the heart of so many believers. I'm speaking for myself in the past, especially, because I have come under such heavy conviction in the praying through and the researching and the writing of this series. But this bitterness in the life of a believer remains there so much of the time because we're thinking about me. We're being selfish. We're being self-centered. We're being self-promoting. We've forgotten our place. We've forgotten we're doulos of the Most High God. And we're to take our focus off ourselves and put them on Christ. Jesus isn't bitter against those who crucified him. Jesus isn't bitter against you or me because we were sinners who have been saved by his grace now. So he says, get rid of bitterness. This is the opposite of sweetness. This is the opposite of kindness. Get rid of bitterness. It's picria. And he's telling us here to get rid of keeping scores of wrongs that you've endured, as we see in that supernatural love that is displayed for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Don't keep these lists of people who have spoken prejudicial things against you, about you. Don't keep these lists of how you dislike the present administration, the present, some of the members of the Supreme Court, the way you don't like Jerry Brown, the way you don't care for our mayor. Get rid of the bitterness. We have no right to hold on to it. No right whatsoever. We have had, as I said earlier, the love of God, the supernatural love of God poured out into our hearts, and it's still being poured there. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. The first part of that is agapao, love. We share this love and people know that we're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. That kind of love does not include bitterness. So get rid of it. Get rid of it. And then he goes on and he says, get rid of all rage. This word thymos, wrath, it's outbursts of the next word, anger. Get rid of it. I just found out this weekend in this text that I was reading that Los Angeles, the city of Los Angeles, out of all the cities, thinking of places like New York and Chicago, you know, Los Angeles is the road rage capital of our country. And I get that. I see the angriness in the lives of people, don't you? You might live with one of those people. The Holy Spirit says to my brother or to my sister who's angry, who has these outbursts of anger, it's coming from your bitterness, something you're holding on to. Now, I used to tell Kath, you know, when this was years ago, as we're both still maturing in the Lord, but instead of getting hysterical with me when I did something wrong, she would get historical. You did this, you did that, you did this, you did that, you did this. And you know, I used to do it too. Gotta let it go. Gotta let it go. But we can only let it go with the help of the Holy Spirit. We need His help. Our flesh wants its pound of flesh. It wants its bitterness. It wants its outbursts of anger. And those are all demonstrations of the flesh, that which still loves Satan. Those are not manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the life of a professing Christian. So he says, get rid of bitterness, get rid of rage and anger, get rid of harsh words. Karugi, he's talking about clamor. He's talking about shouting words. And usually when we're shouting words, it's in the negative tone. It's not, go Dodgers, you know. It's you, yo-yo. We need to get rid of our shouting these words in anger and rage and bitterness. And then he says, get rid of slander. Get rid of all slander. Words that hurt another person. Why would someone who is filled with God the Holy Spirit, someone who has come to know Jesus Christ intimately and personally, has been with Him in devotions earlier in the day and just talked to Him a few moments ago and then turn around and say, you know what? I think you're a big, big doofus. Or worse, right? Or worse? Amen. Yeah. No, I don't want to say amen, because that's like saying, yeah, let's do it. No. And then he says, get rid of all types of evil behavior, which encompass the six things before and other things. He says, instead, be kind to each other. Be kind to each other. Would you turn to the person next to you and say, Jesus says you have to be kind to me. Go ahead, tell him. Jesus says you have to be kind to me. What am I, chopped liver? Nobody said that to me. Eugene has to be kind to me. Did you hear that, Pastor Eugene? Yes, sir. That's not what he said or I said. We need to be kind to each other, family. And it's so much fun, isn't it? There's no such word, funner. But isn't it funner to be kind to someone? It's just so much nicer. And then he says, instead, be tender-hearted, be compassionate, be someone who is feeling affection towards this person or these individuals. Be tender-hearted towards these people. We need to be tender-hearted towards whatever you think of President Obama. We need to be tender-hearted towards that person that speaks ill of you at work, who's in competition with you and trying to push you out of the race for that higher position. We need to be kind to each other. We need to be tender-hearted to one another. And then we need to be forgiving one another. You and I received a free gift, the gift of salvation by God's favor upon our lives through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes? That was a gift. Did you deserve it? No, none of us did. It's a gift. And he says to us, he says, GHCC, you are to be forgiving one another just as God through Christ Jesus forgave you. Now, I just want you to go back in your own mind right now. Is there anyone in this worship center? Maybe they're not here today. Is there someone at work? Is there someone in the neighborhood? Someone in your family? Can you say that you are forgiving them as Christ has forgiven you? You have extended to them, even though they are kind of ornery in your opinion, tender-heartedness, and being kind to them? Or would you say in honesty that really you have been shouting at them in fits of rage, of anger, and bitterness? Because if you're the latter now, then you obviously see you need much more time alone with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need much more time with a discipler. And if you don't have a discipler, you need one. He or she will be a benefit to your spiritual growth. Well, Ron, I just don't have time. I mean, I am so busy. And I'm going to say this to you, and I say it with respect. If you don't have sufficient time to spend and grow up in Christ, then the time that you're spending elsewhere is ill spent. That's all there is to it. Well, you know, Ron, I have been in your office, and I say you have this plaque for having been with this group, and you have this plaque for being with that group, and this, that, and okay, that's right. You know, there was a time when Ron was a husband and a father. At that time, he only had two little girls, but they didn't know they had a daddy, and their mother was questioning whether or not she had a husband. Because Ron had so much time. He was so into it. I mean, he was this fantastic law enforcement officer. And he's moving up the ladder. And he's working on his first master's degree so he can continue to do well and move up in the career. And he's putting in all this overtime and all these special shifts and working special problems and so forth. He is just phenomenal. The city just thinks he's great. But the wife doesn't know she has a husband. And the little girls are questioning whatever happened to their daddy. But he's got all these degrees and he's got all these plaques. And he's really close to the Lord, right? Wrong. Wrong. He's not close to the Lord. Other than the fact that on his way to work, please keep me safe tonight. And after that, you know, you ride over here on the booking officer's seat, and I'll drive the car over here. I'll be the boss, and whatever I can't pick up, God, you pick up for me. We need to be careful, folks. If If it's so much easier to be bitter and have rages and be enmeshed in anger and harsh words and slander, and it's not as easy to be tender-hearted, and it's not as easy to be kind to people, just generally speaking, and forgiving when someone does something against you, speaks in a racial term against you, uses the system to hurt you, then we need more time with the Lord. Because these things that we are to be like, these things have been already placed in us. This is the nature of the Holy Spirit. And if we're not letting him be himself, then we've blocked him off, so to speak. And he allows for that. He even allows for us to quench him for a time. But I want to encourage you, let's take what he's been telling us this morning to heart, and let's embrace it. And this may be a time where some of us need a long period of time with the Lord in meditation on this particular passage, and particularly on the plus side, not the negative side, to really meditate on the passage and pray through it and ask our Lord how we can fix this and what needs to be done and how I can go out and do these things with his help. This is supposed to be real, family. This is supposed to be real. And that's why our culture is the way it is, because the church hasn't been real. The church is really full of bitterness and rage and anger and harsh words and slander and doing all kinds of evil. The church needs to be mirroring Christ. And we can do it, but not on our own strength. Only in the strength that has been afforded us through this lovely person, this gracious person, this all-powerful person, this person filled with love, God the Holy Spirit, who lives in you. Get it? Good. Well, I have to stop here. So we'll pick up here next time. So let's pray. Father, I so identify with both sides of the equation here that you give us in Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. And I want to thank you for the three men that you've put in my life that have helped me to identify areas of anger and why I was angry. And were there to help me, along with yourself, to work through these areas of which I guess I still I need your help, even to this day, to continue to work on this area of anger and times rage. Father, help us to put aside the hurtful words and the slander. Convict us. May your spirit be allowed to say, listen, daughter, listen, son, you need help. And as you're listening, family, to my prayer before the Lord, Rick and Karen Schertz are two people. These are Christian counselors. They have over 50 some years experience between the two of them in the Word of God and sharing it, and how we can be helped to get whole and healthy spiritually. They're marriage, family, child counselors. And Rick can be a real, real help guy. If you're someone that struggles with this, don't do it anymore. Just call the office, get Rick Schertz's phone number, make an appointment. And girls, if this is the same thing for you, call the office, As for Karen's number, they're going to be at the couples retreat and our teachers again. They're just tremendous, not perfect people, but tremendous people who have really been taken under our Lord's wing and been used of Him to help so many. So, Father, thank You for revealing these things to us. And now I just pray that everyone that makes up this church family, visitors this morning, should there be any of this disturbing them, that You will be the mover in our lives to help us to truly mirror Christ and be exceptionally kind and have deep affection for each other. And whoever needs to be forgiven, to help us to do that. We're not saying that what they did was right. We're just forgiving them, letting them off the hook, so to speak. You will deal with those people. You've told us vengeance is Yours. You will repay. So again, thank You so very much for forgiving each of us who have come to know You personally. We are so blessed. Thank You. Thank You so much. And now please receive these musical prayers that we're going to offer to You under the direction of Pastor Eugene and the worship team. We sing these things, Father, because they come from the center of our hearts. We sing these things because we have no reason other than to love You with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. So I ask these things this morning in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.